Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 to 23. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. May God bless the reading from His Word. Please take your seats. Now, we are currently doing our series entitled Rooted in Christ. And in this series, we are actually studying the different titles and names of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in the Bible, there are more than 100 titles and names that is connected to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are studying some of those important ones. I'm not saying that some are not important, but we are talking about those titles and names of Jesus that are crucial to our salvation, crucial to our faith. Now, recently, we started this Titles of Christ. Last Sunday, can you still remember what we talked about? That Jesus is Lord. All right? Jesus is Lord. Today, we are going to talk about the second most important title of Jesus in the Bible. Jesus is Savior. Jesus is Savior. This is said to be the title that is most, the closest to our hearts, the most important and meaningful for us, because the effect of this title is that you and I get to benefit. Jesus is Savior. And who is it that is being saved? You and I. All right? Now, we all love superhero movies. How many of us love Avengers, oh, Superman, all those? Yes. And we love watching these movies, and we love the part when some of those characters are in desperate situation, and then we thought they would die, and then suddenly the hero comes and saves the day. Now, Jesus is said to be our Savior, but not in the sense like Superman or Batman or the Avengers. But Jesus being our Savior is on a broader and a greater, and even it has eternal effects on us. And in the Bible, God has always been described as a Savior. One of the main attributes of God in the Bible is that He is a saving God. He is a Savior. Now, just look at some verses that talks about God as the Savior. Psalm 18:46. The Lord lives, praise be to the rock, to my rock, exalted be my God, the rock, my Savior. God is revealed as the Savior. Psalm 38, verse 21 and 22. Lord, do not forsake me. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly to help me, my Lord and my Savior. Psalm 42, verse 11. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? And then the psalmist answered himself, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. In these verses, God is being described as the one who rescues us, who saves us. Now, why do we need saving? Because we are always in trouble. Isaiah 43, verse 3, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Now, this is, as I mentioned earlier, this title of our Lord is closest to us because this is where we get to benefit from Him. He comes to save us because human as we are, we always get in trouble. And we need someone to save us. We need someone to rescue us from our trouble. Now, the word Savior comes from the Greek word soter. Soter. And that word comes from the root word sozo. It's a verb, and that verb means to save, to rescue, to deliver. In other words, whenever we get into trouble, and no matter what kind of trouble it is, God is our Savior. And on that particular day, an angel of the Lord visited Joseph and revealed to him the plan of God. Told him that, you know what, Joseph? You are going to be married with Mary, and Mary is pregnant. But don't be confused. Don't try to bail out on this responsibility, because what she is carrying is not anybody else's baby. It's the Savior. He's the Savior of the world. All right? And this is what the angel said to Joseph in Matthew 1:21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name what? What name? Jesus. So specific. You are to give him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, 9 months later, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and angels came and announced to the shepherds, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Now, you might be confused, Pastor, are we doing a Christmas message today? Why is our text a Christmas text? Now, yes, we are talking about the nativity narrative, but our focus here is that even when Jesus Christ was still announced, God was so clear about why he sent his son, why he has to be called Jesus, because he's going to be the Savior. All right? Now, from this text, I want us to learn three important lessons about Jesus being the Savior of the world. All right? Now, in this message, I will be talking about the first 2 points, and then later on, Sally, one of our missionaries, will be talking about the third part. So this is a team preaching. At the same time, she will also be reporting to us what's the update as far as missions is concerned in the world today. Right? So let's begin with first lesson, that in that angelic message given to Joseph, to the shepherd, was talking about the promise of a Savior. The promise of a Savior. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ was not by any coincidence. It was a fulfillment of a promise. God is a God who doesn't break his promises. Amen? He is a God who is faithful to his word. Whatever he says in his word, he has all the capacity to fulfill it. And that's what we find in this verse. Look at verse 22 again, Matthew 1:22. All this took place. What do you mean by all this? All this, like the pregnancy of Mary, the angelic announcement, all those things. This happened, notice what the Bible says, to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. So 800 years ago, before the birth of Christ, God spoke to the prophet, particularly Isaiah. And here, the angel is quoting what Isaiah prophesied some 800 years before. Can you imagine that? 800 years before this event happened, God spoke through Isaiah, telling him a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. So the idea of this promise is that this Savior has been promised by God because God knows that man will always be in trouble. No matter what we do, no matter how we plan everything, no matter how we want everything to be organized, human as we are, we always make palpaks. And we need someone to help us. And the worst palpak of all is that we are sinners. We sin. All right? That's why there are no perfect relationships, no perfect marriages. Why? Because we are fallible creatures. We always fail. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. The promise of a Savior came, and the angel gave two names. First name is Jesus. That's the name of purpose. It speaks about its purpose. And later on, we will talk about the purpose. And then another name given is Emmanuel, and this speaks of his proximity. God with us. So when Jesus Christ was born, it was a fulfillment of a promise that God, this time, will be close with his people. This time, he will save us, not from afar, but he is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. So that when we call for our Savior, we are not calling from some light years away from us, but the Savior is with us. That's why he was given the name Jesus. Now again, this is a fulfillment of some prophecies. It's in Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6-7, remember? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Now, again, going back, why did God promise a Savior? Because the nature of man is that we always fail, we always fail. And a good place to outline, to summarize this vicious cycle of our human sinfulness is Nehemiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 26. Now, this is the cycle of man. So here, Nehemiah is talking about his own people, the nation of Israel, but this is also talking about you and me. All right? Now, notice what Nehemiah said here. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebellious or rebelled against you. Right? That's me. That's you. We disobey God. We rebel God. Cast your law behind their back and killed your prophets. So this is talking about the nation of Israel. But again, this also is a reflection of humanity in general. We disobey God. We rebel against God. What happened to his law? We just lay them behind. Now notice this. You killed the prophets who warned them in order to turn them back to you, and they committed great blasphemies. You know what Nehemiah is talking here? God has been warning you. God sends messengers. But what happened? You don't like these messengers. And not only is it that you don't like them, you even get rid of them. And so what happened? Therefore, you gave them into the hand of their enemies. The you there is God. So, as part of God's discipline to his own people, you know what God did? Because you're hard-headed, you always rebel, you always go against my will. What does the Bible says? God gave them into the hands of their enemies who made them suffer. See, that's the history of the nation of Israel. You see, God blessed them. God led them to a beautiful land. They rebel against God. What happens? God allows the enemies to come and made them suffer. Isn't this your story and my story? I mean, imagine this. How many parents do we have here? Parents. Right? Parenting is this. We always tell our kids, don't do this, don't do that. It's not good for you. And then our children will not listen. And then, ang atuang voice, ang atong ugat, manggawas na. And before, many, many years ago, whenever we want to warn our kids, Filipinos start to count numbers. Uno, dos. And Filipinos added this number that's not even in the number system. Uno, dos, ay, tres. And you know this, di ba nakabot na? Though some of you, inigabot na kay sa ay, mabubuhat na dahita kay ay na, sunod na, inig tres na, bunal na. You know, some of you perhaps remember that time. And sometimes God does that to us. But a lot of people are rebellious. And what happened? Because we don't listen to God. We don't obey God. We just give God a deaf ear and blind eyes. What happens? Moana sigur. Sige ha. Gahi ka mang yung ulo. Sige. Padayo na. Hala buhata. Di ba? Sometimes Pharisees, we do that. Bantay bitaw. Madam agka. Di ba? And that's basically what God is saying here. Therefore, you gave them into the hands of their enemies who made them suffer. We suffer because of our own rebellion. Okay? A lot of the miseries that man and humanity in general experience, these are all what? Man-made. We are simply experiencing the consequences of our what? Of our actions. And the idea here is that God allows the enemies to make us suffer. And what happened when we suffer? Notice this. And in the time of their suffering, they cried out to you, and you heard them from heaven. Good thing about our God is that God, whenever we cry out to Him, He listens. Amen? So, nagka-problema na ta, tawag na ta, Lord, help. And the Bible says, and according to your great mercies, you gave them, and notice this, you gave them saviors, small letter S, plural, who saved them from the hand of their enemies. Now, that has been the recurring theme of the nation of Israel. They rebel. They don't listen to God. God gave them up to their enemies. They suffer, and then they call, and then God comes to save. God brings them a Savior. That has always been the case. But listen, in these last days, God no longer sends Saviors, small letter S, but He gave Himself to us. Amen? This is the great thing. This is the promise of God that this time He is not just giving us some or one of the Saviors, but He is giving the Savior Himself. Look at Isaiah 25 verse 9. It will be said that on that day, remember Isaiah was written 800 years before the coming of Christ. It will be said that on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for Him that He might save us. Jesus coming to earth, brethren, listen, is God coming Himself, because Jesus is God. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. Let us be glad and rejoice in His salvation. So in these last days, God not only sent us a Savior, He sent us the ultimate, final Savior of mankind, Jesus Christ Himself. See? God came down. So in the Old Testament, whenever He talks about the Savior, it refers to God. In the New Testament, Jesus is the Savior. Now, some people are wondering, how many Saviors do we have? In the Old Testament, God, capital L-O-R-D, Lord, is the Savior. In the New Testament, Jesus is also the Savior. So do we have two Saviors? Or one? One. Because Jesus is the same as the Father. See? The Savior. And the question, brethren, is this. Has Jesus saved you? Has Jesus saved you? Have you come to the Savior? Because that's the announcement of the angel. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. And this is what Isaiah prophesied. This is what God promised 800 years ago. And praise the Lord, on the first Christmas, God came as our Savior. Amen? So, Jesus being our Savior, it's a result of a promise. Now let's go to the second. The purpose. The purpose of a Savior. So, His coming was a promise. It was a fulfillment. Now let's go to the second. Jesus, He is the very purpose why we need saving, because we need a Savior. And the purpose of Jesus' coming is to save us. Look at verse 21 again. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And then the angel explained, why Jesus? Why not Maki? You know, it's a nice name. Why not Frax? Why Jesus? And then there's an explanation. Because he will save his people from their sin. And this is what I told you. The name Jesus is a name of purpose. The name Emmanuel is a name of proximity. And both names are given to Jesus because in Jesus, he is the Savior. At the same time, he is the God who is always with us so that we don't have to call our Savior from afar. If Spider-Man is... What's the title of Spider-Man? The neighborhood something? What was his title? The Friendly Neighbor. Is that the one? Jesus is with us. He is not just in the neighborhood. He is with us. And he is there to save us. Now, let's try to analyze the name Jesus. Jesus, that's the English translation. And it comes from the Greek in the Bible. It's Jesus. And the spelling in the Greek alphabet, of course, there's no J. So it starts with the iota. So Jesus. The E there should be pronounced A, Jesus. And that's where we get the word Jesus. And then it's just a transliteration or a translation of the Hebrew word, which is Yeshua or Yehoshua. That's the complete name, Yehoshua. And Yehoshua simply means God, Yeho. That's it's like an abbreviation of God, like Yehovah or Yahweh, Yehu. And Shua means salvation. There's a prophet called Hosea. The name Hosea means salvation. Shua, okay? Yehoshua means God saves. So that's the meaning of the name Jesus. It's a common name. Why? Because it's a very beautiful name. It means God saves. And the angel was so clear, give this boy the name Jesus because that talks about his purpose. And many times, Jesus was so clear about his purpose in coming to earth. Now first, let's answer the question, why do we need to be saved? As I've said before, we need to be saved because we always get ourselves in trouble. Even at the very early part of history, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve got into trouble. But then God saves. Now, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, let's read this together, we know this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. No exemption. Everyone. And as a result of that, in Romans 5:12, let's read this together. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. Now, whether you like it or not, you will die. I will die. It's just a matter of timing. We all die because the Bible says we all have sinned. And the greatest need of mankind is a Savior. Now, a lot of people thought that, you know, if we just give people money and then we solve the human problem, but it's not money. Give people money and you will still find people fighting, eating, killing. And some people thought that, well, perhaps the greatest need of man is health. The greatest problem of man today is how do we treat cancer and all this disease. But that's not the worst problem of man. Otherwise, God would have said, today in the town of David, a doctor has been born to you. Now, we were not told that we need a doctor. Or some people would say that perhaps the greatest need of man is knowledge, you know, information. Well, if that's the case, then the angel's message would have been, today in the town of David, a philosopher or a teacher has been born to you. No. The greatest need of man is not education, it's not money, it's not health. The greatest need of man is for us to be saved. That's why God provided the greatest solution, a Savior. Amen? Because whether you like it or not, we are going to hell because of our sins. Now, in Reformed circle, Reformed theology, there is this phrase that goes, we are saved by God from God. To explain to us salvation. We are saved by God. Who is our Savior? God. Jesus is God. And you have to ask yourself, yes, saved from what? Because a lot of people you ask, are you saved? Saved from what? See? Saved from what? Now, I know we all need saving from different situations. We need to be saved from our financial crisis. We need to be saved from our disease. We need to be saved from some troubles. But that's not the greatest need of man that needs saving. Our greatest problem is that we are facing the wrath of God. That's why we are saved by God from God. Some people thought that, you know, I need God to save me from the devil. I tell you, the devil is not your worst problem. Because he too will suffer the same wrath. Here's our greatest problem. Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 5. Because of your hard, impenitent heart, listen, you are storing up wrath. Because of your impenitent heart, your hard, impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath. Now, I want to illustrate this. Every time you and I sin, God is holy, God demands perfection. Every time you and I sin, regardless of what kind of sin it is, you are storing up wrath for yourself. Because God is angry with sin. Now, this is very important because not many churches talks about the wrath of God these days. A lot of churches today simply talks about, you know, God is love, you know, God understands you. Well, that's true. God cares, God is merciful, God is forgiving. But if we don't tell people that if they sin, they are storing up wrath from themselves, people will be, what, shocked on judgment day. Because they did not realize that every time they sin, they store up wrath of God. And notice this, you are storing up wrath for, look at the next phrase, for yourself. And all this storing up of wrath, kanus amni pour out on the day of wrath. See that? It's in the Bible. And whose wrath is this? Of course, this is the wrath of what? This is not the wrath of the devil. Don't be afraid of the devil. Jesus says, don't be afraid of him. Be afraid of the one who can destroy your body and soul in hell. And who is that? It's not Satan who will bring you to hell. It is the wrath of God. That's why we are saved by God from God. Because we have offended a righteous God. Are you following? Every time you sin, we sin, we offend our Creator. And every time we offend our Creator, His wrath is being poured. Don't ever think that God can just wink on our sinfulness. Don't ever think, because God is loving, mana si God, ay, gamay rana, ay, okay rana. Layo rana sa, wara ka naka-murder. See, some people thought that, you know, my sins are little compared to that guy. I'm okay. You don't know what you're dealing with. God hates sin. And because of sin, there's wrath. And look at this. You're storing up wrath for yourself on the day of judgment when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Friends, that's why we need saving. It's not from the power of Satan. No. It's God's righteous judgment. That's that anger of God against sin. We need to be saved from that. And who saves that from that wrath of God? And there's the mercy of God. God solves the solution. See? When Jesus came, you know what Jesus did? He took that wrath on himself. That's what he did on the cross. See? Every time you sin, every time you and I sin, who suffered for that sin? Jesus. If he is your Savior. Now, if people don't receive Jesus as their Savior, if people do not believe Jesus is the Savior, guess who will take all the wrath of God? Themselves. See that? Who will take the punishment? You see, God will never force you to believe in him. But here's the question. If you don't receive Jesus as your Savior, well, fine. Who's going to save you from the wrath of God? Yourself? That's why we need a Savior. Amen? Now, the next question is, why did Jesus come? Now, even when he was a boy, remember? 11, 10 years old, perhaps. His parents were looking for him, and he was lost. There was festivities in Jerusalem, and he was just in the temple, and when his parents were asking, where were you, boy? Jess, where were you? Next time, panang he'd good. And you know, the answer of Jesse, Jesus, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? See that? He knew. He has to be in his Father's business. And what is the business of the Father? Well, we know because we quoted verses about God being our Savior. According to John MacArthur, God is in the business of saving sinners. That's a good business. You know why? The market of God is the whole world, and the customer of God is the whole humankind. Why? Because we are all sinners. Di ba nindot ng aligusyo? Okay? So, if somebody asks, Pastor, unsay nindot ng aligusyo karon? Appeal ko. Join the church. Ano man? Kaning aligusyo, di ka mahotdag customer. Kay tagakita niya magtaw customer, unsa gud ang aligusyo, Pastor? Kaluwasan. See? Every person that you meet is a sinner, and every person that you meet is a potential customer because that person needs Jesus. Amen? That's the business of God. That's the business of the church. You know why? Because everyone are sinners. All of us are sinners. And God is in the business of saving. And that's why we are being saved, so that we can save others. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 9:13, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Sinners. Christ came for sinners. All right, how many are sinners here? Raise your hand. Kinsay wala, kinsay di. Then we all need Jesus, amen? Because Jesus came for you, that's the good news. He came for you, he came for me, because the Bible says, he came not for the righteous, but for sinners. Luke 19 verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. How many of us were lost then? Ganina tanan sinners karon gamay na lang na loss. They're the same thing. Remember? Before we got saved, we were all lost. And praise God, he found us. You know why? Because part of the business of God in saving sinners is God seeking sinners. You see, that's the good thing with Christianity. We are not the one seeking for God. It is God who first sought us. Amen? That's the reason why you are here. That's the reason why you can praise the Lord. That's the reason why we worship the Lord. Why? Because somehow in the past, God found you. And praise God, you're found. God found me. Because He is not just a saving God, He's a seeking God. Amen? He found me, He found you. But here's the big question. What about your friends? What about your parents? What about your siblings? Are they found? Are they saved? See, there are still so many people around us. Neighborhood. That's the business of the church. Amen? That's what Bradford Church stands for. The business of saving. Amen? Because that's the greatest thing that God offers. Salvation. He came to save us. Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:15, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Notice this, deserves full acceptance. Paul is saying, I wrote so many things, but this is something that must be accepted by everyone. What is that? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the greatest message, brethren. And just look around, how many people around you needs saving. 1 John 4:14, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be what? The Savior of the world. He's the Savior of the world. Now, let me complete that phrase. We are saved by God. Jesus is our Savior. From God, from the wrath of God. But doesn't end there. There's the last line. For God. We are saved by God, from His own wrath, so that we will be with Him. You see, salvation is not just you and I free from hell. No? Some people thought that, well, as long as I'm free from hell, paits na, pastor. Okay na na. I can live by myself. No. The reason why God saved us so that we can be with Him. Amen? Look at Romans 5:10. For if while we were God's enemies, say enemies. Don't you know that before you got saved, we were enemies of God? This is very, very important. If you are still, listen, if a person is still an unbeliever, if a person is not yet born again, and by the way, born again, it's not the religion, it's not the group, like, but Pastor Bradford, born again mo? Libog po kus pangutana, born again me? You see, born again is not about a group, a religion. Born again is something that must happen in your life. Alright? So, let me clarify this. Jesus says, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless that person experiences being born again. Now, why is being born again so important? Because if we are not born again, who are we before God? Enemies. So that when an unbeliever prays our Father, it is Satan that says, yes, my son. Because if you are not yet born again, God is not yet your Father. Who is the father of all sinners? Satan. So kung di pa ka Christian, mampo ka, amahan, si taning mutubag, unsa man dong. See? That's why your status must be changed first. So how can I be a child of God and not the enemy of God? I have to believe in Jesus Christ. Because when I believe in Jesus Christ, I get born again. And when I'm born again, therefore I become a child of God so that my status is no longer enemies, but I become reconciled. Notice this. For if while we were, notice the tense, where? Past tense. God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross changed your status and my status before God. I am no longer an enemy of God. Amen? Because Jesus died for me, and I believe in Him, I am a child of God. How about you? All right? I know someone, yung siya nga, nag-testimony siya, nga, kani siya, criminal siya, yung siya nga, you know, I look like Satan, but in my heart, I'm a child of God. Because God changed the man. Amen? Doesn't matter how you look. What's important is who you are inside. You're reconciled to God. Right, another verse, 2 Corinthians 5:18. All this is from God. See, all this is from God. God, salvation is by God, from God. And what's the purpose? Who reconciled us to Himself through Christ. We are saved by God, from God, and the purpose? For God. Why you need to be saved? Because God wants you to be reconciled to Him. Amen? How many of us are reconciled to God today? Raise your hand. You're reconciled to God? Question, are you reconciled to your boyfriend or girlfriend? Are you reconciled to your brother? See? We need to be reconciled to people. Now, it doesn't end there, because after we're being reconciled to God, God has given us an assignment. Notice this. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Are you following? After God reconciled me to Himself, I'm not just free to just do anything now. Well, I'm free because I'm saved. I'm no longer going to hell. So I can just do anything. No. Because I'm saved, I'm now a property of God. God gave me a ministry. What kind of ministry? Reconciliation. Who am I going to reconcile? The people. And that leads us now to the third. The plan of the Savior. See? There's the promise of a Savior. The purpose of the Savior. Now we come to the third and the last. The plan of the Savior. And the plan of the Savior will be explained by Sally. Right?
Thank you, Pastor. How many of us here are 13 years old? How about 16 years old? How about 20 years old? Or now 45 years old and above or below? So everyone else. So why am I asking those ages? Pastor just told us that we have a ministry for reconciliation. And maybe people thought that it's just for the missionaries. It's just for pastors. It's just for church workers. But this ministry for reconciliation, are for everybody who have been reconciled with God. So I was 13 or around 13 years old when I heard about the call to serve others. I do not understand yet fully about the gospel, but deep within my heart, I know somehow I want to serve. At the age of 16, when I was working for my college admission in UP, I remember there was this ship that came to the port of Cebu. And that ship was called the Dulos ship. I was 16 years old then, and I didn't know about that, but I knew somehow this ship will play an important role in my life. And then when I graduated from the university, I was supposed to be employed in Shangri-La, because that time, when you are graduating, some of these companies will come to your school. I graduated from UP in Cebu, and they would recruit some of their top students. I was already accepted then. But it was during that summer of 1992. Wow, that was a long time ago. I went for the summer caravan of our young people. And then there I knew I was designed for His service. And so that was several years ago. I did not start immediately with the doulos. I was with the David Livingstone Missionary Foundation, if some of you remember that. So I started to work as a hands-on healthcare worker, though I was a graduate of business management. And then, so many of my friends already climbed the corporate ladder. But I was still there, the little Sally who, at that time, ingnon ko nila, manghihilot na kasal. It was not. But several years after that, in 1997, I joined the doulos. And then, at that time, few months after that, we sailed to Papua New Guinea. And in one of the islands of Papua New Guinea, called Kaving, part of my ministry was to go to a hospital. And in that hospital, we visited a maternity ward. And in the middle of that maternity ward, there's this young mother who just gave birth to a baby boy. And then she was sharing her story how she was so disappointed and so angry with herself and even with the father of this son of hers. Because she shared that the moment that the father of the son knew that she was pregnant, he left her. She was abandoned by this man. And then here she is now, young woman, giving birth to this innocent baby and left to raise this baby. So she was very angry of herself, angry of the man, and cannot forgive herself of being so dumb and being deceived by this man that she thought, what have I done to this innocent child? And so at that time, I went and stayed with her and asked her, so what's the name of this little boy of yours? And she said, I didn't know yet. And at that very moment, in a split of a second, I just blurted out and said, Joshua! And then she said, why? So it was then that I started to explain that salvation belongs to God. Joshua, Yeshua, God saves. And then explain little by little to Jesus being the promised Messiah who can forgive our sins, take away our sins, and grant us salvation and give us a new life. And then, little did I know that the rest of the mothers in that ward started listening to us. So when I realized that, so I said, yes, and this salvation is offered to everybody who would be willing to humble themselves and acknowledge that we are sinners and we need a Savior, confess our sin to Him, and then allow Him to save us. And we can let Him save us from our sins. And they did. And that time, we prayed. So I realized that it was unplanned and it just happened. That several others came to a saving knowledge of God because of that simple sharing of the name Joshua. And then several months later, so I went back to the ship and we sailed from one port to another. And somehow I forgot about that incident. And there was a mail that I received. At that time, 1997, wala pa'y Facebook, wala pa'y cell phone, wala pa'y text. So it took several months before we received a letter from anyone who sent. So how did it happen? So our sender will send it to our home, to our headquarters office in Mosbach, Germany. And from Germany, it will then be sent to where the ship will be. So I received the letter several months ago after. Then afterwards, I found out that this letter came from Papua New Guinea, from Joyce, the mother of that son. She wrote that she was so thankful that I came And she realized that she needed that message. She needed that forgiveness to forgive the father of her son, to forgive herself, and also to be forgiven by God. So why am I sharing this with you? To talk about the plan of a Savior. Because these stories of sharing what God has done in your life, in my life, and even in the lives of those who have experienced salvation from God is a testament, is a declaration, is a living experience that needed to be expressed, needed to be shared, and needed to be known to as many people as possible. It is too good to be kept by one person or by one people group or by one nation. It has to be shared. So we are saved by God, from God, and for God. And that's the ministry of reconciliation we have. So in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Mark being the first gospel that was written, so after Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he met several others. He met to the woman, and then to the two disciples on the road of Emmaus, and then to the 11 disciples. So after he rebuked them for not believing and for having this hardness of the heart to believe the testimony of those who have seen Jesus, that he has risen, he said to them, I know you still don't believe it, but this is what I tell you. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. I am here now, and I am telling to you that I have risen from the dead. That the promised Messiah, the promised salvation for all the sins of the world, the Savior has come, is alive, and now you need to let it be known to all the world. So between the resurrection and God's ascension to heaven, that's 40 days, and soon we will be celebrating ascension, God used those 40 days to further explain and demonstrate what it was really to be saved from our sins and what is indeed the function and all the things that Jesus Christ has done, and that these things that he has done is complete and effectual. So at that time, so that was Mark, and in Matthew, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So the first one, the emphasis was to go and proclaim the whole gospel to the whole world. So not just to keep it to yourself, but here the emphasis is that as you go and make disciples, I have given you the authority. Because this authority, the authority that Jesus has over heaven and earth, this is this authority that is given, that has given us the freedom and even the commission to go. And as we go and make disciples, he is with us to the very end of the age. So it's not just simply because I want to go, but this is a commission from no other, from the Lord of all creation. So, whether we like it or not, as what Pastor said, yes, we will all die. Yes, we have all seen. And yes, we can also all be part of the fulfillment and even the completion of his plan of salvation, which is to let everybody know about him. So next in Luke, he said, he told them, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. So here the emphasis, yes, we are given the authority and God's presence is with us. But this one is, you are witnesses. So the word witness there, you cannot be a witness unless you have seen, you have heard, and you have experienced it. And that because you have seen and you have experienced and you have heard about this, then you can testify of its veracity sa iyang pagkamatinood nga panghitabo. So because of that, you are called to be His witnesses. If you are indeed being reconciled with God already, you have received the salvation from Him, then you qualify to be His witness. And if you are a witness, then as you bear witness, it is also a thing that you are expected to do in season or out of season. So this is, then, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So the good thing about this, while it is expected of us to be His witness, that you don't have to do it on your own power. The power of the Holy Spirit shall be upon us. So yes, we have the promise of His presence, God with us, and not just His presence, but the power of the Holy Spirit in us, so that our witness of Him is powered by no other than the Holy Spirit in us. So then we realize and we know that through church history, that after that, the whole book of Acts, we learn of all those different things, Paul and the early fathers and the early disciples and the churches. So they keep on witnessing. They keep on sharing. And that is why the gospel came to the Philippines. The gospel came to you and to me. But then, this is the thing. What is then our part in the Savior's plan? This is both a good news and maybe not so good news to some of us. Because this Savior's plan, we may, with all the things that's happening around the world, we thought that the end will come. There's the rumor of war, there's the earthquake, there's the flooding in Dubai, there's all these things. And we thought, now the end shall come. And we would love the end shall come, right? For Jesus Christ to come and we will just usher us all to heaven who believe in Him. But it's not so. He said that this gospel of the kingdom need to be first, will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations and then the end will come. So which means He needs you and me to testify so that this gospel will be spread all across the world. Because if there is someone who hasn't heard about this gospel and offering of salvation, then he will not come. Because that's how merciful God is. Because He knows that the day of judgment, the day of wrath is so terrible that those who missed the salvation in Christ will certainly suffer the punishment. And He didn't want that to happen to as many people, but He wanted it that everyone has the opportunity to accept His offer of salvation. And He called us to be part of the fulfillment of that plan. You and me, not just the full-time missionaries, but you who confess and profess that Jesus is your Savior. So that was a long time ago, and the plan is still continuing. So what has happened to the plan now? So there's a good news. There's a group of professionals, God-fearing professionals all over the world, who gathered together and labored painstakingly and did the research. Over the last 150 years, what has happened to the Great Commission? With all the missionary endeavors, with all the technology and the churches, so what happened to Christianity around the world right now? So this is what happened. And this report is available on YouTube. It's the Lausanne Great Commission State of the Great Commission report. And it's also on Google. You just Google it and it will be revealed. So here, the religion in the world. The blue here signifies Christianity. Looks nice, right? There are quite a number of us. So which means only few who still belong to another group and maybe needing the spreading or the sharing of the gospel. So then the next, this is another thing. Here, that's actually the line that shows the percentage of Christianity in relation to the population of the world. So from 1900 to until now, we thought that that Christianity has increased. It might, as you think, but in relation to population, it remains the same. It has plateaued. It remains between 33 to 35% only. So we have not done a good job. There is still a work needed to be done. And not only that, in the religious switching, not only that we have not increased, but the sad news is among Christianity around the world, there is this backdoor from churches. So many have left Christianity or the church. Other religions, they receive some, but for Christianity, in total, the backdoor is increasing while the front door remains to be seen. And so we hope, we want and we desire to change the trajectory. Next, so we can see here the non-Christian population in the world. All these pink ones. And we realize that most of them are situated in our area here in Asia. You can see it more, the unreached people group. Pastor Maki mentioned about the unreached people group on the next slide, please. And that's the yellow one is in Asia. And if you can see that all over the world, there are 7 continents or 6 or 5, however you want it. But the biggest concentration of those who have not heard the gospel yet is in our area, in our continent. And which countries are this? We will find it out that the top is in India. We have some Indian friends here that we can pray together and encourage them, or maybe somehow go with them and be part of sharing and crossing boundaries to another people group. So it's India, Pakistan, Indonesia, Bangladesh, China, Japan, and many others, and even Thailand. And some of you maybe have traveled there. So it's in our neighborhood. And then here is another fact-finding thing. So in the churches, there was a survey asked, if in your church, you will be asked, how many of your people are now ready and prepared to share the gospel to others? Not to mention to the unreached, but just to others. And then found out in Asia, the yellow one, there are only 46% of the churchgoer prepared to share the gospel. So where are you in that percentage? Do you belong to the 46% or to the 54%? And then the next one. Here, another question was asked, when someone become a follower of Jesus Christ in your church, have they been adequately informed about the Great Commission, about the plan of the Savior, that we are called to be His witnesses? And then you can find that only the blue said that they are adequately discipled or informed, but the yellow, limited, and the green, no. That's how little or how few who know about the Great Commission. So that's why Christianity has plateaued. But the good thing about this is the rise of Christianity in Asia. And who tops it? Which country in Asia tops Christianity? The Philippines. So somehow in God's providence, we are wired the way we are, and that is for a purpose. Somebody said, we are Filipino. Pinili na, pinino pa. That we can easily adopt, we can go to anywhere else, and we can be a courier, an ambassador, a ministry of reconciliation to as many countries as possible. So it is now with us, the challenge for us Filipinos. When you go out and everything, you might be going or even interacting with those unreached people groups within our city, we have the capacity to be able to do so. But what are you doing with that opportunity? So our response. Here we learned, we heard so much about it, but Jesus being our Savior, before we can be the ministry of reconciliation, be an ambassador of that, we need to ensure ourselves that we ourselves are indeed saved. That it's not just a matter of religion, but it's a state of being. What are you? Have you experienced the forgiveness of His wrath against us? And next, if you have been saved and you know that you have been forgiven, be discipled. There is so much more that we can learn. And we are so grateful to the Lord for this church. He has given us good pastors who can teach us the Word of God, and good opportunities where we can engage the world with His Word through the different ministries that we are offering. Because of the work that I am involved, I have traveled far and wide. And I have seen the reality of this trouble things that our pastor said. Whether you are white, you are black, you are brown, you are rich, you are poor. I have the opportunity to be in a palace of some others, and I also have the opportunity to live and to dine with the poorest among the poor. And yet, there is a common denominator. There is this angst, there is this emptiness, there is this need within us, there is this vacuum within us that only God can feel. Believe me, I have seen it. I've been to Africa, to Sri Lanka, to Laos, all those, even, it doesn't matter whether you are poor or rich, there's always this angst that they're looking for something, for someone, and we have that message. You and I have that. You don't have to be a full-time missionary like some of us, but you can make use of the things, of the profession, of the business, or of whatever that you have. Make use of it so that you can be discipled and you can be His witnesses. As when Jesus Christ died on the cross and when He said, "Telestai, it is finished," there is nothing you and I can do to add or to deduct of the completeness and the efficacy of His salvation. It is finished. It is complete. There is nothing more you can do to make it more effective. But there is one thing you can do. You can make it known to as many people as possible. And you and I have that opportunity. So who is this group that you are about to witness or be a witness of? You don't need to go far. You have access to social media. You have access to your friends. Or even when you go tourism, you have all the opportunity to be Christ's witness of what He has done for us. So keep going and keep doing it, because faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of God. But how can they hear if there is no one who will be going there? And how can they go if they are not being sent? So all of us are needed in this mission of letting salvation of in Christ be made known to the whole world. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that this message of salvation is not just for one group or one few individuals or few nations, but it is for everyone who would come and respond to your call. Lord, they could not respond unless it has been heralded, it has been testified, it has been told, it has been proclaimed, shared, or preached to them. So, Father, here we are. We are your messengers. You have called us an ambassador of ministry for reconciliation. Lord, we ask for forgiveness when many times we failed. And Lord, help us to be reignited once again, to be your testimony, your witnesses, wherever you are, all for your greater glory and honor. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.